beats, beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog, 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 dog.
What's good? What's good? We are back live from Vietnam, home of J. Cole, home of Dennis Smith Jr., home of Afion Crockett, home of Murray, home of Dennis L.A. White, and home of two-time Super Bowl champion Joshua Williams. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing good.
I'm still a little under the weather, trying to get my voice back, but we got a special guest coming on.
You get some sun.
Yeah, I do need to get some time. I'm very excited about this guest. We got him waiting right now. We about to bring him on. Some of y'all might notice this cat from the hit record, When the East is in the House, Oh My God, Danger. Some of y'all might know him as the DJ and producer from Blase Blase. Let's bring on the one and only PF Cutting. PF, what's good?
What up? Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
What's going on, gentlemen?
What's up?
What's good? Happy to have you on the show, man. We're glad you made it.
Man, I'm glad to be on it, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I want to start with, what's the average day of PF Cutting look like nowadays?
Nowadays, all right, so, you know, get up mad early. First thing on my agenda every day for the last 9 years is I take care of my mom. She's 97 years old.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so that's what I do majority of the day. So in the morning, I wake up, take care of my mom's. I chill with her till like around 6 o'clock, see her to bed, and then I start my hip-hop, as you say. You know, go to the studio, prepare for a gig, look for some samples, etc., you know?
That's what's up. Shouts out to my man PBE Pluto tuning in. I was listening all day yesterday. I was listening to the Blase Blase album.
Me too.
And I listened to it today. I gotta ask, what inspired that sound on Blase Blase's Blah 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 album?
I mean, that sound is basically me from the beginning of learning how to make music, which was like 94 till 95, 96 when the album came out. So that whole time frame, you know, I was working on beats. And it just so happens that, you know, Blas, who's MC Out Loud originally, now he just go by the name of Blase. Everybody calls him Blase. But Out Loud lived down the block from me. So we was childhood friends, man. So, you know, we used to hang out together and play wiffle ball and football and basketball. And then, you know, we was in love with hip hop at the same time. So he was like, yo, let's try to do some music. So, you know, I had some beats and we went to the studio a few times. And, you know, the rest was history.
Yeah, because I must say, after listening to it again, man, I mean, every beat is still as hard and as hot as when I first heard it, man. I mean, there's nothing that you skip through. The blah blah. The title track has actually always been my favorite. You know, the blah 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 joint. The pianos you got in there, I love them, man.
Thank you.
I gotta ask you about that Smoother Hustler and Trigger the Gambler track that I was listening to earlier. We had DV Alias Christ on a few weeks ago. It was that him at the end of the song?
Yes, it was.
I thought so.
It's also in the song, like with ad-libs, if you hear it.
Yeah.
He's all over the song, yeah. That's my brother, man. To this day, we good money. We good money, yep.
I want to let my guys ask some questions. I got one more for you before I let them ask. I had saw you had this, the Jackal EP, right? Sean Price, Professor X, and Nardo Ranks, and yourself. Like, how did that come about?
I was going to ask that, too.
That was like a weird combination to me.
Yeah, Professor X got me, but I was about to ask that, but go ahead.
So originally the Jackal beat was a song I produced for my group Glaze. It was called Collard Greens and Rice and Beans. So okay. It was supposed to be part of the second album that we had that never came out. So what ended up happening was Lumumba Carson, Professor X, was a friend of mine. And, you know, he was one of my mentors for many years. And he was like, I'm working on a project. And I was like, word? All right. Yo, so I told Blasio, I'm going to give this beat to Professor X to use as well. He was like, yeah, nah, no doubt. Let's do it. So he had no problem with it. Gave it to Professor X. He wanted Sean P on it. Got Sean P on it because we was just, me and P was just establishing a friendship at that time. And then he went and got in all the ranks as well. And they all recorded it here in my crib, right over here. That vocal box has a mic in it. And yeah, so we created the song. And then shortly after, may he rest in peace, he passed away. So I took that song with something else up and did a Peep My Words remix for Sean and a freestyle and went and sold it to Fat Beats and we put it out.
Definitely, definitely. I was wondering about that. I saw Professor X, Sean Price, and you. I was like, that's a weird combination. How did that come about?
Yeah.
I'm going to let my man, Mr. J, the historian, I know he got a question for you. I'm going to let him go with his question.
No question.
Yeah, what's good, man? You know, you're a DJ, you're a producer. How do you feel about like the current state of DJs and the current state of DJing as it's currently constructed?
I mean, it's definitely from the time I started, it's definitely on another level. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things going on, a lot of buttons, a lot of this and that, but it's still overall incredible. You know, you watch some of these dudes. They're amazing to me, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I mean, I enjoy where DJing is at in 2024. Very dope.
Okay, as far as you have your radio show, as far as artists being broken, a lot of people talked about maybe a few weeks or a couple months back about certain artists that came up, like a Nicki Minaj or other artists of that ilk that didn't really get broke in New York City. They kind of got broke or got propped up by people outside of the city. How do you feel about that? And do you think that people are really still breaking people from NYC in NYC? Or do you see it kind of going another direction?
I'm trying to understand the question. And the question is basically, do New York DJs still break artists?
Yeah.
I mean, I break artists, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I'm at a small, my platform is to my listeners. Like, I'm not on the radio. So, radio don't play the hip-hop I play on my show. They play the commercial music, which is fine, which is good money. And, yeah, I still hear a lot of DJs on the radio break new artists, you know what I'm saying? It might not be the hip-hop we like, but they do that, you know what I'm saying? But, yeah. As for me, I try my best to search new hip hop, and whatever's new and that I like, I play it and I break it. I make sure people know about the artist and know the record and where to go get it.
Mr. J, you had any more questions?
I think that was it. That was pretty much it for me.
Okay, well, I'm gonna let the producer of the show tonight, Trillanoise Tracks, ask some producer questions over there. What you got for my man, PF Cutton?
What's up? First of all, you know what I'm saying? Big fan.
Appreciate you, brother.
And as any producer, I'm always curious as to, you know what I'm saying, what was the first piece of gear you started out with producing?
First piece of gear I had was a 5-piece Ludwig drum set, clear fiberglass. You know what I'm saying? I was a drummer. You know, to keep me away from the streets, my parents put me in drum school. So this is at a young age, 12, 13, 14, 15. So, you know, I was pretty nice with the drums. I wasn't the best, but I was pretty good. So what happened was I met MC Watch Out, who was through Daddy or Step. MC Watch Out was like the first real blind rapper. And he got signed to a sub-label from Tommy Boy called Body Rock. And on his first single, I played drums on his first single. It was called Drop the Bass, which is all me playing drums and him rapping on it. So I would say that was my first instrument for producing. After that, I got bored real fast with drums. I sold my five-piece Ludwig. I bought an S950, and I bought a triple D1 called drum machine. And that's how I started making beats.
Okay, that's about like me. I started off with drums, too. My parents bought me a set of drums when I was 11. You know, I started with drums. I mean, I want the best either, but, you know what I mean? I can get on a pair of drums and do my thing
right
now.
You can defend yourself, right?
So, yeah, I mean, I can play the part real easy.
Right. They taught me bars, notes, structure, you know what I'm saying? How to put stuff together as for music, like, which I didn't know until I went to drum school and learned notes and learned how to read notes and, you know, 8 bars, 16 bars, and, yeah.
And also, I mean, as far as artists, who was your favorite artist to work with?
Favorite artist to work with? I didn't work with too many artists, so every artist I worked with, I loved in a way. You know what I'm saying? But my favorite, which I, you know, and reason being, because, you know, he was like one of my idols when I did the Chuck D remix to Know. You know what I'm saying? Being in the studio with that man, just, it was amazing. Like, you know what I'm saying? No was a remix I did, but like, if I'm not mistaken, it had like 10 different rappers on it. And he had the whole song structured on a notebook. Yo, this guy's going to do 4, then this guy's going to do 4. And just being around that man, his presence, man, you know, it was a joy to work with him. Even though it was one song, you know, it just sticks out to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And then, you know, like, as far as influences, like, you know, I mean, I have a list of my influences and stuff like that. So who were your influences as far as production? I mean, from the song Danger, I can remember first hearing Danger, and I actually thought it was Premier because nobody else was scratching hooks in the beat.
Right.
So, I mean, clearly he has to be. Clearly.
There was a few people scratching hooks, but not like Primo. So when I did it, I tried to do it different than Primo. Opposed to using 1 or 2 scratches on the hook, I use 3 scratches on the hook, 3 parts to the hook. But my influences growing up early, man, had to be the Bomb Squad, man. Hank Sharkey.
Man, they are.
They, you know, the first Ice Cube solo project, that fucked my head up. Public Enemy, all that influenced me. Before that was Stetson Sonic, you know what I'm saying? Because I grew up, you know, learning from Daddy-O, watching him, and he took me under his wing as a young kid, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, those were my influences, man, real talk. Also, Part itself, just the radio in that era, the New York radio was incredible. I used to stay home late night, taping Latin Rascals, Red Alert, Chuck Chill Out, The Awesome Two. And I learned a lot just from that, you know, listening to that. It helped me out, too.
Yeah, back in them days, you know, being in the South, we had to have those tapes shipped, like Special K, Teddy Ted, Special K, and
right,
like all them shows and stuff like that. Like, we would get them. They'd probably be a month old, but y'all get to listen to that every day. So, I mean, being up there definitely had an advantage. But, you know, I mean, as a producer, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got a classic record, like, under your belt. I mean, that record's a classic. It's going to be played forever. And ever, that one song, you know what I mean? Not saying you're a one-hit wonder, because I'm pretty sure it's like with me, I mean, my favorite beat ain't no beat that anybody has ever picked. Right. And I mean, I don't think I'm wrong by saying that. That probably wasn't your favorite beat, but you do have a classic beat under your belt. And if you was a rapper, they call you a one-hit wonder.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now, I've listened to all your stuff. Like, I mean, Danger don't even come in the top 10 if I was to choose which beats of yours I like.
Right.
But how do you feel about that? If people like, you know what I mean? Like, got one hit. You know, say you only got one hit record. But I mean, I'd rather have a hit record than a few hits. I mean, if you a classic record, I'd rather have a classic record than a few hits, because, you know, it's going to be played forever. So, I mean, but how do you feel about that? And has anybody ever asked you about that?
No. And I feel grateful to have that one. You know what I'm saying? Because that one ain't a normal one. That one is a mega hit.
Yes.
It was on the radio for 10 months in New York. I don't hear records to this day that last that long, unless they Beyonce or something in that level. You know what I'm saying? And I might have that one classic hit, but I got over a dozen underground bangers under my belt that a lot of people don't even know. You know what I'm saying? So I'm cool with that, man. It's all good, brother. I love it. I love that. I'm grateful to have been a part of that album and done that whole album and was signed to a major, and I could give knowledge to the next person about that.
Yeah. I mean, not only that, I mean, you're part of hip hop history. Like I said, that song will forever be played at any 90s type of whatever. I mean, like, it will be played forever. So it's a classic. Like, I mean, I wouldn't feel bad about it. I mean, I wish I had that. You know what I'm saying? I wish I had that one. I'm chasing that one. Hey, I'm chasing that one.
At least five of those, but you know.
I mean, yeah, but hey, but everybody can't say they got one classic record.
No question.
You know what I mean? Like, that's a small list, especially with producers. I mean, MCs is one thing, but with producers, it's a small list. They get to say they got that classic that's forever gonna be played, and it's ever going, it's always gonna pop off at any party, any club when it's played.
Right, no doubt.
You know what I mean?
All right, yeah, well, so let me get another question in. Y'all got the album y'all dropped 20 years later. I hope I'm not stepping on any toes, but I gotta ask, why didn't you produce anything on there?
Well, I'm doing an interview. Pardon itself, brother. I'm doing an interview on the computer. Let me hit you back. I'm sorry, you said why what happened now?
You got the album. Anything is possible.
Right.
That's, I noticed you
album.
Like,
that's not my album.
That's not your album. Okay, that's why I was asking about that. So is that a solo?
Let me explain that album. That album is the rapper Out Loud, who's my friend and my partner.
Yeah.
You know, who is now known as Blase, you know, because people, you know, some people forget names and they just call him Blase. So I'm like, my brother, you do what you want to do. I am who I am. You are who you are. So that album was basically brought to me by him. Was like, okay, I need you to mix and I need you to master this album. And that's what I did. You know what I'm saying? I had a producer join on there, you know, which it's all good. It is what it is.
Yeah, but yeah.
To call it a second Blase album, that it's not, because I'm
yeah,
not.
Yeah, I didn't actually want to call it that myself.
Right.
Because I was like, if PF Cutton ain't producing on here, this. Right. Not really a Blase album. I was a little confused. That's why I had to ask.
I guess that was like, I guess, a marketing tool. I don't know.
Yeah.
It is what it is, man. You know what I'm saying? But there are a few dope joints on there, you know. But
no, I checked it out. They had a record of Oh My God that was kind of reminding me of the Blah 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 album a little bit.
Right. 100%, brother.
Yep. Well, we won't take up all your time, man. Before you go, you want to shout out anything or whatnot?
Yeah. Shout out my man OC, man.
Oh, yeah. Love OC.
Is that the 950 back then?
I don't know if you ever heard this, but I did this with OC. Like,
yeah, I seen it. It's on my notes. Opium by OC and PF Cutton.
I didn't know that. I'm about to check it out, though.
This shit is banging. If you need it, my brother, let me know. I'll send it to you. Well, also, yeah, too, shout my man Hannibal Stacks. I just dropped this with Hannibal Stacks. Fire EP, 5 songs produced by me with 5 instrumentals on the B-side. Shout out Hannibal Stacks, Gangsta Foundation. That's my brother. And yeah, I'm here, man. You need me, my brothers? I'm here. Catch my show, East New York Radio, every Monday night. All new hip-hop, all this current hip-hop. Not trap, not drill, but, you know, the dope good stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Will do, definitely.
And you're now a friend of the show. Anytime you want to email me anything that you want us to promote, man, please do, man. You know,
I appreciate you. I'm gonna definitely use the email, definitely.
And thank you, thanks once again. It's an honor to have you on the show, man.
I mean, it's my pleasure, man. You know what I'm saying?
Keep hip hop alive.
I wasn't doing much today, but just cooking and doing some hip hop.
Well, is that? I mean, am I blind?
Well, thank you for joining us, man. And once again, like I said, you know, anytime you want us to promote something, just send it over, and we got you, man.
All right, thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate y'all.
All right,
man.
Peace.
Peace.
We're having a Mr. J.
Jay, we kind of took you off for a second because you fell out the mix.
Yo, what's up, fellas?
Kind of messed up the layout there, man, falling out on us. But we all good. What's up, Mutate Guy?
Man, late. Late like it's all good. Man, you know. Mutate, man, making shit happen, man. That's all. Trill, what's up, boy?
What it do?
You know, Mr. J.
Under the weather, but we're going to keep it moving.
Yeah, man.
What's good with you, though?
Ain't nothing, man. Just, you know, doing a lot of festival runs, man, and shit, and trying to fine-tune this thing to the very end, man. We got a couple more weeks out, so, yeah. It's exhausting, man, you know.
You nervous?
Nah, hell nah. I ain't nervous.
You did the festival, right?
Yeah, it's the first time I did a festival, but it's just like putting a show together or something like that. I just wanted to do something that ain't no showcase and start getting people playing like a dollar amount for some of these acts, like consistently, to break the mold of just like, I want to break the mold between support and actually paying for acts. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Support is one thing, but paying for a motherfucker is two different things.
Well, look, my dog is whining real quick. I got to let her out. We're going to run a Denzel commercial, and then we're going to get into these topics.
You play the long one.
Let me pop him, pop back out and see if we can get everything straightened up here.
All right.
Damn, that was quick.
Hey, the commercial ain't going. Yo, Paul. It ain't no commercial, cuz.
It ain't no break. Well.
That was bad. Yeah. No Dizzle. That wasn't no Dizzle commercial.
It ain't no Dizzle.
Nah, it ain't going
to. Nah, hell nah. That must have.
That Dizzle ain't no joke. Got me addicted. Ain't no coke. Let's just have a toast. Anybody want some smoke? Cause it's up. I be dizzled up. Catch me sipping with my double cup. Can't just have one, you gotta double up. You pour it, gotta watch it bubble up. I ain't gon' lie, I cannot get enough. But Kevin said I need another one. Gon' have you coming back for more. But go get it while it's hot. 40 sold out in your store. That dizzle.
Dizzle.
I really mean it. You could Dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Throw your Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. Be on the lookout.
Trill, I heard you humming, man. He's
not coming, and I don't know what's up with Mr. J. He disappeared.
I heard Trill humming that motherfucker in the background.
Yeah, how the fuck was your microphone not muted during the commercial? What's going on here?
I mean,
it's
hey,
you doing a commercial, man.
You supposed to control that.
it's supposed to automatically mute. It's supposed to automatically mute.
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, I thought it was automatically mute.
Nah, yours didn't automatically mute. I heard you back there humming.
Yeah.
Hey, he tried to blame it on you.
Yeah.
Hey, you never told me to mute the mic, cuz. I mean, shit.
Nah, it's supposed to automatically mute, man. Everybody's mic.
Oh, I'm about to start doing that from now on. Cause I be there saying some crazy shit in the background.
We got some topics. We're gonna start with underrated producers since we just interviewed a producer. I'm gonna start with Mr. J, the historian. What you got for me?
Yeah, some of my favorites. Daz Dillinger, of course, is a Dog Pound. We're just starting to realize a lot of the background work he did on The Chronic.
Chronic.
Of course, Dog Food, which goes without saying. And then he did some stuff for Doggy Style, as well as Jay-Z. So, you know, just getting some of that. He doesn't get that mentioned. He doesn't get his flowers on that. High Tech, you know, that's one of those names that I don't think gets mentioned as much as it should get mentioned. Dame Grease, you know, he did a lot of stuff for DMX. a couple other little things. I think he had like a side project. I can't remember what the side project was back in the day. But that's one of those. LES, of course, he did, you know, Nas. He was probably the closest thing that Nas had to like an in-house producer on his first joint. And Manny Fresh. I think that's a name that doesn't really get mentioned as much as it should, because he's done what they had maybe like an average of 12 or 20 songs per album on the Cash Money albums. And none of those tracks on any album sounded the same. You know, when you get certain producers, some of their stuff starts sounding the same, or you can kind of point it out and it's real like formulaic. His was never anything like that. And then he did, I think he did Top Back for T.I., and that was completely different from anything he had done with Cash Money. So you really didn't even realize it was him at first unless you kind of really were in the know.
I'm surprised to hear you say Manny Fresh. Okay. Mutate Guy, what you got for me, man? Most underrated producers.
I got DJ Toon. He underrated. Let me see. What's my other guy I was thinking about? Jazzy Faye, to me, he's underrated.
Yep.
You know what I mean? There's one more I had, too. One more I had, but I forgot, though. But, yeah, those two. And what's my boy name? Bangladesh, Sean Dre. He underrated, too. He be doing a lot of shit. But, you know, he did a lot of shit for Luda when he first popped off. And did some shit on 8-Ball MJG shit. You know, he did a lot of shit. So, yeah, him. Was my boy in Virginia. I think Knox is underrated. Definitely, you know what I mean?
Definitely underrated.
Yeah, you don't hear people talking about him that much. And one more, DJ Scratch. I think he's underrated.
Definitely DJ Scratch.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of those guys, people don't really, you don't never hear them on their top, on people's top five or nothing like that. They done did a lot for the culture.
You
like,
me with that one, man. Like when you did the, you said something about Mood Doom album.
Yeah.
DJ Scratch, that, like, I didn't see that one coming. That was like from left field right
there. Well, Scratch, you know, I fought with Scratch just like I fought with Knox, because on the Busta Rhymes shit, like,
yeah,
them niggas went crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, even with Jazzy Faye, man, when Manny Fresh, he was kind of like falling off a little bit, Cash Money signed Jazzy Faye to pick up the slack. And that little last thing, it wasn't as effective as the first stint of the Cash Money, but he did a lot, and he did a lot for Suave House and shit like that. So, you know, yeah, Jazzy Faye, that dude too. So, you know, shout out to all them.
Triller Noise Tracks, most underrated producers.
Yeah. I mean, I only got one, and that's Eric Sermon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm. I mean, shout out to all the producers y'all name, but Eric Sermon, I mean, has broke more artists and actually produced the songs. You know what I mean? Because, you know, we done heard about Dr. Dre. We done heard about Manny Fresh. Mm. We done heard about a lot of these dudes. You know what I'm saying? They'll sign somebody, you know, make this, and I put my name on it as I did it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But
yeah, you got like Ghost Producers. I
mean, yeah, Ghost Producers, which is crazy to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't even, I wouldn't get a ghost writer, much less a ghost producer. Like, that don't make no sense. But, I mean, just think about, man, I mean, EPMD, which was his group, all the Red, you know what I'm saying? All the Red Man's projects.
Mm-hmm.
Method Man and Red Man. You know what I'm saying? Look, let me read it. You know what I'm saying? Murray. Make sure I miss nothing. I mean, yeah, Keith Murray. K-Solo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, let me keep it going. You know what I'm saying? Let me see. And look, yeah. Hold up. Boss, you remember old girl Boss back in the day?
Yeah,
Boss.
Yeah.
You remember Illegal?
Yeah, Illegal.
Jamal's album.
Jamal, yeah.
You know what I mean? He did shit for Run DMC. Hold up, let me keep going. Shaq.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Hey, Shaq.
Went platinum.
Yeah.
Facts.
For real, definitely.
Shaq album he's gold.
Yeah, did both of them go platinum? Because you know he had that first one.
They all went platinum.
Eventually.
Shaq went platinum.
Eventually.
Shaq, no joke.
That second album went out the
first
gate.
First album.
That second Shaq album went out the gate, though, for real.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Jodeci, Heavy D, Blackstreet. You mean Booty Call? He produced Booty Call. We thought that was Teddy Riley.
Mm, damn, that's crazy.
You know what I mean? Booty Call. You know what I mean? It says, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, you know what I mean? Keith Murray, we done said that. We keep going. Shaq, Redman. I mean, all the Redman albums. I don't know who that is. Method Man and Redman, How High. Supercat, Jamal, AZ. Let me see. Keith Murray again. You know what I'm saying? Blah, 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 blah. I mean, and look, and on this list right here, that's only up to 1995. I ain't even scroll.
We ain't got time for past
1995. Exactly. But yeah. But what I'm saying is,
own shits though. I mean, the Eric Sermon solo joints.
I mean, yeah. But my point is though, you know what I mean? To me, he is never mentioned at all, period. You know what I mean? Like people always talking about, oh, you skipped this. Like, I mean, even the people you name mutate, like, yeah, Knots and all them, yeah. But before all them, there was Eric Sermon. How can you skip Eric Sermon as not being in the top five? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're
as a producer,
right.
Like, I mean,
the top five list though. This is just underrated.
I mean, I know that, but I'm just saying, but like underrated, like
he's supposed to be spoken on the top five.
Yeah.
Really. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, yeah, I mean, he's definitely underrated, but like nobody ever talks about Eric Sermon. Look, I bought, you know what I'm saying? I went to what was that, Jim's Pawn Shop on Yakin Road. Is it still there?
Yeah.
I bought the Roland W30 because I found out that Eric Sermon had one.
Wow. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
I mean, now, what's that piece of history like? Because I've been watching the Wu-Tang joint, the bio series, right? One mm-hmm. day in the studio when Eric Sermon was in, and they was in the same studio, right? In the beginning, like something like that.
Well, I haven't watched that. Whatever you talk, I haven't watched it, but
pretty it was sure, great. Something like it's like, I don't know. I gotta watch it to make sure.
Yeah, but you know,
it's a lot of history.
As far as producers, like, I mean, most of the, like, you know, like, I just give him the most underrated, you know what I'm saying, for his body of work and the range of people he's worked with and all the classics that he got, you know what I mean?
Right.
And ain't nobody talking about, I produced that, or, you know what I mean? Like, he ain't sending out MIDI files, playlists, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? He ain't doing no Dr. Dre and Manny Fresh type shit, you know what I'm saying? Having a bunch of niggas in there making beats, I'm going to put my name on it. Nah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So to me, you know what I'm saying? Now, he ain't my top producer, but he's the most underrated, but he's in my top five.
All right, mm-hmm. Well, let me get to my little three-piece list. I'm surprised you didn't say this name, Trilla Noise Tracks, but I got Easy Mo B is one of them for me. I don't think nobody really talks about Easy Mo B enough.
They don't.
With his catalog and his body of work.
Hmm.
Another one I got is No ID. And I gotta go with DJ Paul.
Mm. DJ. No Juicy J.
I mean, they both now.
They gotta be hand in hand.
I mean, they
both in there.
I mean, they both produced. I mean, it's like it was a crew.
They gotta be hand in hand. Yeah.
But like, I remember living with my man, Lil Six, and his girl, and I hated them at first because that's all they played. But then. I started to really like it. They started to grow on me, man. Like 3-6 Mafia and they sound, man. I mean,
that's the Memphis sound, man.
Yeah. Definitely a dope sound.
I wouldn't even call it Memphis sound, though. I mean, like they the first ones to incorporate us like sampling and loops with 808. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's what made 3-6 Mafia dope to me. I mean, because they're sampling, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're using samples like I use samples, but they're using 808 drums.
The 808 center.
And yeah, that shit was hard. You know what I'm saying? For real. I mean, listen to their shit. All this shit was samples, but they had them 808s on it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. I mean, that's what made them stand out to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Because what they incorporated with it. You know what I'm saying? And I tried to use that in my shit, you know what I'm saying, later on. But
all right, we're going to get to this next topic. Let's see if anybody got anything for this. Who is your least favorite rapper? I could go first if y'all like.
Go ahead.
I got Blueface.
Come on, fuck that. That's too easy.
Blueface is my least favorite rapper.
Nobody likes it. You know what I'm saying? Nah, you gotta pick another one. That's everybody's least favorite rapper. Come on, nigga. Blueface?
I gotta pick somebody else.
Yeah, that don't count. That, I mean, that's everybody. That was too easy.
Lil Pump.
Yeah, Blueface is a crib and Crips don't bump at his joints. So
yeah.
So,
I'm trying to think, man. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's all you got.
Blueface. I mean, I could keep going with some least favorites.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep it going.
I don't know. 21 Savage. I just don't.
Oh, no, no, no. Stay. They just
don't do that.
Stop the fucking blasphemy, man. For real.
Don't do that.
21 Savage is my nigga, dog.
21, all right.
I'm 51. I'm 51 Savage, nigga. Come on. That's my son. I'm
21, spitting, man.
51 Savage.
Did you just say you don't like, man, Paul? Hey, don't like
him. He be spitting, though.
I'm about to block you, Paul.
He's kind of like, to me, 21 is kind of like the equivalent of a Southern. He's like a Southern how Prodigy was to New York with that monotone, but still spitting some shit. It's the same shit. Yeah, it's the same shit.
21 be, God damn, Paul, but when you think you know somebody.
Did you just compare 21 Savage to Prodigy, man?
Hell yeah. Prodigy of the South, man.
I'm blocking you.
I'm about to block you.
Prodigy of the South, man.
You can't call me after the night.
Yeah, man. Prodigy made you believe with monotone raps, man. He ain't putting no pizzazz in it or nothing. He just spitting the same way 21 do.
Man, 21 be spitting, though.
Come on, y'all got, though? Y'all ain't got no least favorite rapper.
I got my list here.
Just one. We just need one.
Of course, you know, Tekashi 6ix9ine. That's easy.
That's too easy. Let's skip.
Hold on. You don't like Tekashi flow? Or you just don't like that he a snitch?
Hey, hold on.
Just because he a snitch.
He had no flow.
The nigga sound like he sound like one of Onyx's best children.
No, that's what I was hoping. When I first heard him, and I first heard that one joint, when he was out there with all the cats out on the stoop, I was like, yo, you need to get Onyx on that joint. But everything I heard after that, I was like, man, you're not even talking about nothing. Like, on, you can't be serious.
He ain't that bad to me.
I ain't gonna front.
Hey, look,
I can't front.
We need a toilet flush sound on that. Like a toilet flush.
I don't know. I don't like his morals.
Hey, like you said, though,
right? He definitely got a voice.
Don't like his morals.
You know what I'm saying? Like he said, like, do you don't like him because he was a snitch? But I ain't gonna sit here and lie. When he was first popping off, I was fucking with that hype ass shit, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, it reminded me of that Onyx shit, you know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna lie, nigga, for real, dog. I was feeling
like,
that shit.
Okay, everything else after that, I was like, come on, man.
I ain't even gonna front. But, you know.
I'm good.
I mean, is it because he a snitch or he can't rap? Which one is it?
I don't know if I got a problem with neither.
Because he had flow. You know what I'm saying? He had flow in that energy, though. I mean, I was really feeling that energy when he first.
He got energy. Flow. Question mark.
It reminded you of Onyx. I mean, come on. It reminded me of Onyx.
It was the same shit to me.
The sound.
In the new days.
The bars weren't there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he might have been Fredro Starr's son. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. For real.
I don't know. Short bus son. I don't know.
You got another one?
Tom.
It's hard for me to find one.
Tom McDonald. Yeah.
Who?
I ain't even never heard of
Tom McDonald. You got Tom McDonald?
Yeah, man. You talking about
Ronald's favorite?
Why is that? Go explain that.
Ronald Little Brother Tom.
He's just on some different stuff, man. Not that he can't rap, but he's just on some different stuff. I can't rock with it.
Who the fuck is Tom McDonald?
Tom McDonald is like one of the biggest independent rappers in the world. He's originally from Canada, man. He had that song with Ben Shapiro.
I gotta look him up.
Going on iTunes.
it's a little bit more political stuff.
Yeah, I gotta look him up.
He's real political. He's like real political. He's like
never heard of Tom McDonald.
Yeah, but this just on some different stuff for me. Well, Lil Nas X, Chank, you know.
I mean, man, I think you're going the easy route.
Everything else is.
You don't think he's a good writer, though?
I think he knows how to make songs. He knows how to, you know. But
because he's gay? Is it because he's gay, Mr. J?
Wow. That's just too easy.
Is it because he's gay?
Watch the slurs. We're going to get trying to get everybody canceled, man.
Ain't God went out on TikTok live right now. We'd be getting kicked off.
I know, right?
Nah, I ain't got nothing against the GPS community, because trust me.
The GPS?
I'm just saying. I ain't got nothing against none of them.
GPS.
Yeah. Whatever the GPS.
Man. ain't about the LQB, ABCD community, none of that. You know what I'm saying? It's none of that. It's just, you know what I mean? He's just extra. It's just too extra for me.
So you trying to tell me you was not bumping to that that shit with him and Molly Daddy? What was that shit called?
Old Town Road. Everybody was.
Okay, and then when you found that, you know what I'm saying? We can take this back to Tekashi now. You
know? We ain't got to find out nothing. If you didn't know, I ain't know doing old time.
I thought he was just doing some different shit.
Yeah. I didn't know.
Somebody's radar off.
I just don't be looking for it.
Yeah. Hey, I don't think you gotta look for it if you know. It's a little word. This is just a little too extra.
I don't know.
Anybody else got a least favorite rapper?
Huh?
I don't know. A least favorite? I can't have a me. It's hard for me to have a least favorite because I just don't listen to garbage shit. So it's hard to have a least favorite. Who am I listening to? I don't listen to. If I hear it, that shit ain't for me. So it can't be my favorite and my least. I don't know. Yeah. I can tell you some bad rappers.
I thought about that question too, though. Like, that's the only question from the notes that I don't have an answer to. Cause, I mean, it's so much garbage. Like, we'd be here all damn night. You know what I mean? For real. Like,
yeah, right.
I mean, because
I'm talking about bad rappers.
I don't actively listen to a lot of new shit. I mean, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I don't actively
You can go to the old shit and some garbage ass rappers, man.
I mean, you can go to the old shit with garbage, but at least with some of the old shit, they was trying to be different.
Who was your least favorite in the 90s?
Shit.
I could tell you mine.
Damn, in the 90s.
What's my boy?
That's too easy. Nobody
Cool Keith. I don't fuck with Cool Keith.
Oh, man. Keith. Come on now.
Hell nah.
Dr. Oscar kind of just.
No. No.
Black Elvis?
Yeah.
I can't disagree with him on that one, though.
And just
that
about
shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, all that shit after Ultramagnetic, that solo shit, man, he would just. Like, nigga, what the fuck is you saying?
Half of the BET Uncut video catalog.
Yeah,
garbage. Mm, you know what I mean?
Except for Tip Drill.
Tip Drill the shit. Tip Drill the shit, man.
Except for that one, yeah. Except for that one. That's crazy. But like for that's a hard answer, though. I mean, I can't find nobody on that.
We got a couple more topics we still got to bang out. I sent a link about French Montana exposes how streaming is brainwashing rappers.
Yeah, I believe that.
On this,
yeah, I just kind of feel like, you know,
you agree with this kinda, streaming is brainwashing rappers.
I can be two minds about it. I can see what he's saying, you know, people get involved with the numbers, they think the numbers bear out what they are or who they are, but you still got to do the legwork, you still got to do, you know, the shows and thinking all that's going to translate to fans. It's not necessarily true. It's just like anything else. People can.
Damn.
Lost him.
Whoa.
See? So, LGBT got his ass. Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Hey, that GPS community.
See? See?
The GPS community found you, nigga. Watch what you say.
Yeah, man. Me low, man. Hey, I don't know.
But go ahead.
The baby survived.
Go ahead. Finish, Jay.
Yeah, I think, you know, it just doesn't necessarily translate, you know what I mean, to fans. People can like what you're doing, you know what I mean, and not necessarily follow you online or, you know, they kind of have a mindset about one song, but they not got rocking with your whole catalog. You know what I mean? You got to do the work. You can't just depend on streaming numbers and analytics to kind of, you know, do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Mutate guy, what do you think about this? I know you watched the video.
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah, I think it's true, man. I think it's true overall because it got people chasing a ghost that always going to keep on moving. You know what I'm saying? Like streaming, man, is like the weakest form of music distribution that has ever been to me in music history. Now, does it sustain as far as the treatment of catalog and being able to have a lifelong situation of making money for people's families? Yeah, because it's always going to be there. But at the same time, for up and coming type artists who's chasing, they're chasing the numbers and everything, and people get discouraged with the numbers, but they're not chasing the true impact of being an artist and being able to feel if you buzzing. Like they jokers can like have the craziest streaming numbers and then get out on the street and nobody's bumping it. But I remember a time whenever people would have like, you know, a record was hot, or you know, an album was hot, because every car be bumping. That physically you can hear this shit in the air. You couldn't deny it. Right now, that shit don't happen like that, man. So I just think, yeah, it's brainwashing. And most of the generation, from even some of our generation all the way down, man, like when they doing this shit, they like, yo, what's your number? What's your numbers? And it's getting the fans and starting to judge people on the numbers and not the craft and the art. You know what I'm saying? So like, that's people can be super dope.
Exactly.
People can be super dope, and then like, oh, your numbers ain't shit. So yeah, you know, it's just jading the people's minds. So that's brainwashing. You know what I mean?
I think that's how I feel about it. They still need physical copies too. I think they still need physical copies out there.
Well, yeah, they need physical. Not even physical copies. They just need physical purchases. You see what I'm saying? They need somebody to say, I'm going to spend a dollar amount for all this, not just spend a membership for everybody's shit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's made audio and music not valuable no more. That's why you got to put so much content out, because content is more valuable than the actual audio now. You know what I mean? So, because people can go back, they'll watch something more than they listen to something. You know what I mean? So, you know.
Yeah, I saw an interview the other day that I can't remember who it was, but they was talking about how the big record companies are thinking about going back to that, because actually nobody's really making no big money. It ain't like physical copies, like you said. Like, it ain't nothing like a million copies actually going platinum. Like, I mean, what is platinum now? I mean, what is considered
I forgot how many streams it was. Yeah, I forgot.
Like, they come out, like, every time an artist drop, you hear like people we listen to, they did 50,000 first week. I mean, 50,000 what? Like, I mean, I don't understand none of this new shit. Like, I mean, I ain't buy shit. I mean, you ain't got to buy nothing. You know what I mean? Like you
that's
said.
What,
I mean,
and that's
I,
what killed
I mean,
the value.
I mean, you know, I mean, I just pay for a stream and shit and find one song I like, and you might get 1 cent every 1,000 times I play it. Like, I mean, but, you know, but like French was saying, though, like, to me, one part of the interview he was talking about, you know, it kills creativity. Like mm-hmm. he said, does. You know what I'm saying? So you're gonna look at, oh, this person has the most streams. It's like a flex more than the damn, you know what I'm saying? It's like a flex or a clout more than skill. Like, oh man, fuck you. I got 3 million streams.
And meanwhile, the labels, you know, and some artists are buying the streams up. So yeah, now you got a false narrative of everything.
Yep, you know what I mean? So I don't understand none of it, but like French was saying, So what you're doing is, like, if you're up and coming, imagine a 15-year-old boy right now, 15-year-old girl, woman, whatever, you know, I ain't, don't cut me off like y'all did, Mr. J. But, he, him, them, they, whatever, coming up right now and rap, you know what I'm saying, want to rap, they're looking at, oh, this person right here is number one on streams. So, like he said, they're going to try to imitate them instead of trying to be original and make some new shit. And that's why every song you cut on the fucking radio sounds the fucking same. All these niggas sound the same. You can't differentiate between it. I mean, even the producers, even on the producer side, they're trying to make that same type of beat. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Give me some 808 drums and this and that and blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? And all that type of stuff. I'm finna make the same fucking shit. You know what I mean?
Trap drums. So,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah, this streaming shit is, to me, it's killing everything. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, trust me, I come across a few of them that I'll bump. Mostly for the beat, though. I damn sure ain't listening to nothing they say. But you know what I mean? Like, mostly for the beat. But
you know what's sad about it, though, bro? What's sad about it is how easy it is to come across that. Once upon a time, when you came across a jewel that was hot, you either bought it or your homeboy gave it to you. You was like, oh, shit. Yep. Now you can just come across it with without even no insurance. So you just like, oh yeah, this is dope. You ain't putting no work behind getting.
But at the same, that's a good thing with the internet and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? You can come across some dope shit. But the thing is though, it's hard to come across dope shit more than the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The bullshit is just every fucking way. You really gotta dig. So it is, it's pretty much the same thing. Like you was just saying, like you really had to find it. So today it's really still the same thing. You really have to dig through the bullshit to find the good shit.
The only bad part about it is it's easy. What I mean by easier is there's no dollar amount attached to it to where it's like you make you want to hold on to it a little longer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, yeah, you would come across or your homeboy tell you about something. The next thing you know, you got to drive and go cop that joint. Mixtape, you got to go buy that shit. Now you can discover everybody, but you ain't going to spend on everybody you discover.
Yeah, if you paying for the service, all you got to do is hit like or save to your playlist and listen to it over and over. You know what I mean? Like, no album cover. You know, back in the day, we used to love the album cover, read the credits. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I miss that shit. You know what I mean? Like, now.
But it's another generation of children that's coming up now who are going totally back to more physical stuff. That's why you see so much vinyls in Walmart. So it's like, you know, we had the one generation, I guess, I don't know what you call them now, but that next generation that's supposed to be one of the richest generations that's about to come up financially, they like collecting. And so they like getting the vinyls or the physical CDs. And I can see them being birthed right now. They're coming up right now. It's crazy.
Yeah, a little interview I saw about, you know, companies thinking about going back to actual physical copies. Mm-hmm. I mean, which they should. Because to me,
at the same time,
streaming ain't working for everybody.
Of course not. Let me chime in for a little bit. You know why streaming is so fucked up? The dude that just started rapping fucking yesterday can make money tomorrow on streaming. It's like an illusion, you know what I'm saying?
But how much money though?
Can make it doesn't matter. Anybody that thinks they make any kind of money off of their
they feel validated, right?
Yeah, they feel validated and shit. Everybody's validated now because I started rapping last week and I can make money next week because of streaming. I could just buy fucking plays, pay to get on a playlist, and you ain't building no fans on streaming at all. Nobody is.
No money though. A million streams is how much? It ain't even $1,000, man.
Yeah.
A million streams ain't even $1,000, dog. Come on, man.
It was 4,000.
Lunch meat.
Man, no.
But if you sold a million records at $1 a pop, that'd be $1 million.
If you did.
You know what I'm saying? If your record sold
streaming is half a penny though. So,
shit. How many motherfucking streams I got to get?
Radio.
You can't pay a light bill with streaming on a million views, a million streams. Like, come on, man.
That's why it's all crazy now.
Physical copies are needed, man. Bill with my streaming royalties, Triller, but not everybody has.
I ain't got shit streaming.
But no, it's like a bunch of little micro
streaming is good. Streaming is good for the longevity of the actual product if they own it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's gonna stay in the matrix even when they're gone. But like your CDs, man, like it's a lot of old records, man. You can't even find them shits now. They discontinued, you'll never find them again. But if they was on streaming, they'll still be here.
And that's why the only thing I pay for is YouTube Premium. I tell everybody that. Spotify, fuck all the other shits.
Two for one.
You know what I'm saying? Pay for YouTube Premium. You can make your own playlist and you can find anything you want to listen to. The originals. You know what I mean? Like, none of those songs, you can find an artist song that they put on streaming and you'd be like, damn, they won't like that on the original CD because they done got some little copyright infringements and shit and change it up. So, all I do is listen to YouTube. Everything I listen to music-wise is YouTube. And all that type of stuff like that. I don't know how they get paid off that, but I'm pretty sure YouTube pays more than Spotify and Pandora, you know what I'm saying? And
actually, whatever. YouTube Music don't pay out very well. It's really the highest payouts is like Tidal, then you got Napster and Amazon. Those are the top three.
But still, though,
But they're not as popular as Spotify or Apple.
If you can't get $100 off a million streams, I don't give a fuck what it's on. It don't even fucking matter. What's the use?
People
saying?
Don't understand the process.
What's the use?
Like people don't understand. People don't understand the fact that you're really paying for somebody to warehouse their own servers in a building.
Yeah, you're paying for that,
and you're paying for the lawyers. You're paying. That's what's eating up all this money. You know what I'm saying? They got to deal with all the different copyright lawyers and everybody else. You're paying all these people in the building, and that's why you only getting a penny here, there, and everywhere, or half a penny.
Yeah, 0.000001. Like, what is that? How do you break down a penny?
How do you get a decibel?
That's what devalued the music, because they broke down a penny. Yeah, you know what I mean? That's crazy.
Yeah, back to what we were talking about. You know, that's what is like, you know, say like they got this new generation brainwashed, you know what I'm saying, on stream. Like, oh, I can say I got 3 million streams, you know what I'm saying? So I mean, what First Montana was saying is you know what I'm saying, correct at that point though. You know what I mean? So it's stifling creativity. You know what I mean? So you're chasing that sound instead of being yourself and stuff like that. So overall, it fucks up, you know what I'm saying? It fucks up the whole music. You know what I'm saying? Like
business.
Just, you know what I'm saying? Music in general. No, not the music business. You know what I'm saying? No, they love it. You know what I'm saying? But like,
I'm talking about the business from the artist perspective.
As us as listeners and stuff like that, it fucks it up for us. You know what I'm saying? To where now we got to get in arguments. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, y'all old heads. Nah, y'all shit is trash. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, so we got to argue with these motherfuckers because, you know what I'm saying? They looking at it a whole different way. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Dre ain't got a million streams on this. You know what I'm saying? I got 3 million streams, so I'm better than Dr. Dre. At 15, you got some nigga talking that shit. So, you know what I'm saying? Everything is good for the music business. The people that owns the labels and stuff like that. Everything is good for them, no matter what. Everything that's good for them is always bad for you. But, I don't know. It is what it is.
Well, I guess there's no reason to get into the last question. Are we going back to direct to consumer? Because we kind of brought that up. I think they are.
It is partially going back to consumers. Like you said, this physical product coming back.
I'll slip off.
Really, it never really left. I mean, overseas, you have a lot of, you know, CDs. They, you know what I'm saying? They've doubled, tripled in value. You have a lot of artists who still have released physical product, even when they put stuff on streaming platforms. I mean, that's basically a lot of the cats that I listen to. You know, Griselda had stuff on streaming platforms, but they still released CDs. It may come out 2-3 weeks after the actual streaming drop, but
I do think this having a physical product game is a different conversation versus direct to consumer, because streaming is still actually direct to consumer. It's just not physical product. You see what I'm saying? See, because we mix these up. Whoever's selling the streams, whoever's selling the product to the doggone consumer, which consumers get their shit off streams now, they're selling catalogs direct to consumer. Now, if you're talking about physical product sales from independent entities and things like that, do I think it's going to go back to that totally and wholeheartedly? Yeah. But as far as the direct to consumer game, when did direct to consumer stop?
I don't think streaming is direct to consumer for every artist, because if they don't got their own consumers, streaming isn't direct to consumer for them, because they're 100,000 songs per day being uploaded, man.
From a non-artist perspective, it's still direct to consumers. Just artists have to own their own shit.
You have your own consumers.
You know what I'm saying? Because like the consumer is from the label, they consumers, because the artist signed to them. You see what I'm saying?
And if you're just going off of just the typical Spotify consumers, when you get on the streaming, you got to have your own individual consumers, because there's just too much music.
So whenever, let's say you sign to a major, right, or whatever like that. After you sign your John Hancock and you own by them, the labels own your shit and they're gonna put it out and distribute it, right? Mm-hmm. When they distribute it, who are they distributing it to? Direct to the consumer. You see what I'm saying?
Direct to the platform. To me,
now, But where's the platform going to?
But we're talking about with an unsigned artist that ain't got no fans. When he uploads his music to Spotify, it's not direct to consumer. Because he has.
You don't think so?
No, because he has no consumers. He's got to still have his own fan base.
So that goes to a question of what the hell is he uploading it for?
You engage with fans directly on there. You can't comment on nothing. Nothing.
So that's the question I would have now. What is he uploading it for if he doesn't have a consumer to direct anything to?
Because, you know, it's that illusion, you know, that you got to copy the majors. You got to do everything the major artists are doing.
But the artists think, it is delusion because the artist actually thinks he's sending it direct to his consumer through the streaming.
But he's not because he's still got to pay to get on playlists and buy plays and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting nothing.
Because it's just like how Rockefeller did back in the day. Right, all that shit. The rules are still the rules. It's like them niggas bought records.
No rules when you're not signed. There's no rules.
They bought records to be popular to get a deal. They bought their own shit. So it's like that's the same as buying fake streams.
That's like buying Spotify plays. Yeah.
It's the same hustle, just a different way.
Man. Yeah, it's digital.
And then labels had call banks, like when you had requests. You know, requested music to radio stations. You had basically call banks, people who would go around and call radio stations and request their music. So, I mean, it's basically the same thing. It just goes digital. You know, you got streaming banks now.
If we're asking the question, do you think things are going back to a physical product being sold with music in it? Yes, I think so. Because that's the thing. The thing about music is it's like it's always been built to sell something physical. Whether it was Sony was built to sell CD players and phonographs and shit. That's why RCA was built to sell the phonograph, not the fucking record. You know what I'm saying? It was all a funnel effect. You know what I mean? Same way with everything else. That's why you have songs that are in movies. They're trying to sell movies. They're trying to sell televisions. You know what I'm saying? These big companies like that. So this has always been made. Music was made to actually not be sold, but to sell product from it.
Yeah,
and then we got
it. This started from the movie business to put music
And then the product, when we were coming up, the product was your vinyl, because it's physical, your tape, your cassette tape, your CD. That was a physical product, like buying a toy from a store.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But then we took the physical off of it. Now it's just like, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying?
Now it's just in the Matrix. All right, we're going to wrap it up. I'm my voice, and I got to save my voice for tomorrow, so let's get with the shout-outs.
Yo, I'll start with the shout-outs. The multi-family millionaires, shout-out to them. I've been out to a conference trying to do some business networking. Also, shout-out to the Hip-Hop and Fashion Awards. Next Saturday, I will be out there. We'll be NCC Records will be in the building. I'm scheduled to perform out there. Of course, shout out to Beauty Jen. I just did an interview with her on her platform, just basically talking about the underground experience documentary that I'm getting ready to try to wrap up. Shout out to all of y'all on the show. We're just trying to keep this thing moving. Definitely looking forward to hearing all the results of everything that everybody's got going. Go to www.empiremusic.com. Go ahead and tap in. Try to help fund this movie. We got IMDb credits I'm trying to give out for associate producer and so on and so forth. So everybody just keep everything moving, man.
For sure.
Who got next shout outs?
Me, same old thing. You know what I mean? Shout out to the show, Live for Vietnam. You know what I mean? This is one of the better ones. You know what I mean? We need to keep the same energy. You know what I mean? I like it tonight. Same old thing. You know, shout out to myself. Shout out to Paul. Shout out to y'all. You know what I mean? Shout out to my granddaughter. Rest in peace, Brooklyn. That's it.
For sure. Mutate guy, what you got for me?
Shout out to the Mutators. Shout out to the Mutate Fest, April 13th. You know, when we starting that thing at 1 o'clock, it's going to have the DJ Ducks on stage outside. Then gonna end it off in the evening with the DJ Yodo stage on the inside. Plenty of performers, man. Y'all see the promo going around. You know, shout out to my partner Uncle Chuck. Shout out to the shout out to DJ Chuck T as well, who's gonna be doggone at the Mutate Fest. That's my guy. I've been knowing him for like a long time. So yeah. You know, shout out to everybody who trying to make it, trying to get something out of themselves in a positive way. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? We can't stop. We just got to keep mutating and doing what we got to do to feed our families and keep this shit going forward in abundance. You know what I'm saying? That's all we got to do. Ain't no dream can't be fulfilled. There ain't no time limit on it. Colonel Sanders start making chicken at 70. Nigga, goddamn. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me? Man? We got to make this shit pop, man.
He said
Colonel
Spices
started
making chicken at
70.
He did.
Yeah, that's when he started the franchise. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
That nigga, yeah, you know what I mean? So, like I say, like him, Walt Disney, man, he didn't get to see Walt Disney World, man. You know what I'm saying? He died before that shit was a record. You know, he saw Disneyland, but he didn't get to see the big joint. That's, you know what I mean? So, ain't no time frame on this shit. Just got to keep striving for whatever you're trying to do. You know what I mean? Be excellent at it.
I want to say shout out to PF Cutton for coming on the show tonight. Shouts out to everybody on Live from Vietnam Cast. Shouts out to everybody that tuned in and commented. And we're going to keep this moving. And speaking of streaming platforms, Live from Vietnam is now available on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Deezer, TuneIn, Stitcher, Slacker, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and much, much more for the audio version. So check us out there. And, of course, the video version is on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Rumble, BitChute, Twitter, and much, much more. Anything y'all want to say before we leave?
Nah, peace. Solid. We out. New tape.
Hey, tune in tomorrow. Tune in next week.
Check us out tomorrow, Saturday. Live music reviews, 5 p.m.
Peace.
Beats by Trill, straight Killerville, dog.